In the name of the Father, and Son, Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. كل سنة وانتم طيبين. Because of this great feast that the Lord allowed us to witness today. And this feast is one of the major feasts of the Lord that we celebrate every year, a week before the resurrection and 5 days before the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So today we will talk about 4 points. The first one, the prophecies about this feast from the Old Testament, the symbol and the liturgical procession, what we did in the beginning of the day in the matin, and also answering questions about who truly rejoices in this day. It was said that hundreds of thousands of people were in Jerusalem in this day, and all of them, they were rejoicing in the Lord, but we will see who truly was able to rejoice, and we can share in their joy as well. From the prophetic aspect, this feast was spoken about in 2 areas in the Old Testament. And why the prophecies are important? The prophecies tells us many things. Many one of them is that our Bible that we believe in is truly the word inspired by God. In the book of Genesis, Jacob, 2,000 years before the coming of the Lord Christ, he speaks about his children and what will happen to them in the end of time. The fourth of his children is Judah. And Jacob, with the eye of a prophecy, he says about his son the following: the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet. Speaking about a king and a lawgiver. And by definition, a lawgiver is only God. He is the only one who can give the law. So in a way, he speaks about the coming of God from the children of Judah until Shiloh comes. Shiloh is the name of the Lord Christ, the Messiah, that means the Prince of Peace. So he says his name, Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the people, binding his donkey to the vine and his donkey's colt to the choice vine. Speaking about him coming and binding his donkey and the colt, the donkey's colt to the choice vine. The vine is the church. He washed his garments in wine and his clothes in the blood of grapes. And we ask here if we can our father Jacob and tell him how anyone would wash his clothes in wine. Why you say this? Because in his, what he saw is this person coming as if his clothes is red, as if he washed it in wine. And the second question for him, our father Jacob, why you call the blood of the grape? The grape, when squeezed, only bring juice, wine. Why you speak about it, blood? It is blood. This is now what we partake from and by which we abide in the Lord the Christ. So this is 2,000 years before Christ. Zechariah, one of the minor prophets in the Old Testament, he speaks about him again in this day, around 500 years before his coming. He says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." As if, like exactly he was there witnessing the coming of the Messiah, entering into Jerusalem in this meek form, riding on a donkey. When people try to make you to doubt the Bible, I wish they can answer the question, how those people in 2 different time periods, speaking hundreds of years before the coming of the Messiah and prophesying about this incident and many others as if they were witnessing, eyewitnessing of what's going to happen. People can speak about criticism to the Bible, whatever they like, but no one can answer when it comes to the prophecies, how detailed they are and how informative to us about the coming of the Messiah. So what is the symbol? What exactly what happened today symbolizes? It was said about the lamb of the Passover, and this is the command that God gave to Moses to ask the people to do it the night before they departed Egypt. What was the ordinance of this feast? He says, on the 10th of this month, Every man shall take for himself a lamb. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. The day when the Lord Christ entered Jerusalem was the 10th of the month of Nisan. The same day when everyone from the people of Israel would be looking for a lamb to keep it for 4 days, making sure that it has no blemish, and then they will kill the lamb in the 14th day. The Lord entered Jerusalem on the 10th, and also he was crucified after this, and the same time when the people were celebrating the Passover. Why? Because he is the true lamb that everyone was waiting for him. Look at the last sentence, what it says. It says the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. As if speaking of one lamb. If everyone was choosing for themselves a lamb, then the sentence should say what? Should kill them. But here, God is speaking about one lamb. And this is exactly what happened on the day designed and planned by God. The whole people of Israel, they are gathered around the true lamb and kill him in order for us to receive salvation. This feast, from the liturgical point, we at the morning we come and celebrate by doing a procession. In this procession, we go around the church and make stops at 12 stations. And when we think about this procession, we remember that we do the same in the day of the Feast of the Cross. 2 times a year in the days of the feast, we do the same and bless this. This is the third occasion. What is the meaning and why we do this? What the church wants to convey to us as a meaning from this feast? In every of these stations, every place we stand before, Christ reigns, and the sign of his reign is a cross. If now I ask myself, is Christ is ruling, reigning over my heart, my life, my household? Then the answer should be, if yes, there is a cross, then definitely he is reigning over there. Let us go into the stations and think of them. The first station is the main sanctuary. What do we see here? When our eyes fall on the sanctuary, we fall on Christ being a sacrifice. He tells us that in order to reign for you, I came as a sacrifice. He also wants to reign on us in the same way. He made us to understand what his responsibility is, what his love is. Love is a sacrifice. It has no other meaning according to the teaching of our Lord Christ. So this is the first station. The Lord reigns on a wood. The second station is the icon of Saint Mary. When we stand before her icon, we remember the words of Saint Simeon the Elder when he said, "Yes, a sword shall pierce through your own soul also." We remember the sword of pain and suffering that she has to endure while carrying the Son of God in her womb, living with him for 33 years until witnessing his crucifixion at the end of his life on earth here. When we look at her, we understand the cross for her was to take take all of the pain with thanksgiving. The third station is Archangel Gabriel, and before Archangel Gabriel, we remember him being the minister. To be a servant means to carry a cross. As we hear about the angels, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? If you are a servant, then you are carrying a cross, then Christ rules over you. The fourth station is the station of Archangel Michael. And we always see a sword of fire in his hand, but we know that the sign of his victory is the cross. It is the same sign that was given to King Constantine to reign over have victory over his enemies. If you want to be victorious in your life, then the cross is the sign that you hold not only in your hand, but in your heart. The fifth and sixth stations are Saint Mark and our Father the Apostles. They carried the cross of witnessing to the Lord Christ in a corrupt world. They did not shy away. they do not feel embarrassed that they are saying something different in the world that full of corruption at that time. If you go outside and you face this kind of pressure because people want you to imitate them, when you stand for what you believe and you declare that you are a Christian, not in words but in action, you are actually one of these stations witnessing to the Lord by the life of chastity and purity. The seventh station is Saint George, and we all know the cross he carried was enduring suffering and martyrdom. Saint Anthony, he carried a cross also in a life of devotion, being dedicated to worship, living in solitude, and starting the movement of monasticism. All those people who are sharing in this kind of life, not only living in the desert but among us, who choose to live in a ascetic lifestyle, we are also sharing Saint Anthony in carrying this cross. The ninth and the 11th stations here are the gates. Supposedly in the old times, the church had two gates on the sides. And the reading of the Bible, of the Gospel, in these areas speaking about the narrow gate. The narrow gate says to us, the Lord says to us about this, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. If we are going through a narrow gate, walking on the difficult road, then we are one of the stations where Christ reigns, he finds comfort in it. The tenth station here is the baptism. And why we stand before the baptism? St. Paul gives us the answer. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with. Before the baptismal font, we remember the first cross for all of us. Maybe when we were children, we didn't understand, but we died with Christ. And we should keep this status of death to the world in order for us to be living to Christ at all times until the time we meet with him. The last station is the icon of Saint John the Baptist. And this man carried the cross in everything, in his lifestyle, his ministry, and also to the time of his death. The fourth and last point is, who will truly rejoice in this day? As I said, thousands of people were around the Lord. They came and everyone was shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna, by the way, means save us. Comes from it Hosanna, and comes from it the name Hosha and Joshua. All of these are the same. And Isaiah, all of them, they carry the same meaning. Save us. Deliver us. But the people have different intentions when they're saying to him, deliver us. Some people were looking to him as an earthly king. So rejoiced in him in expectation of him bringing earthly deliverance. Later on, in 4 days, they were disappointed. And all of those people, they cried again, crucify him. But who truly rejoiced and their joy was not taken away from them? The answer, we find it when we go back into the readings of the 7 weeks before this, when the fast started. Sunday before the beginning of the fast, we hear the words of the Bible says to us, do not heap for yourselves treasure on earth, but have your treasure in heaven. What is the treasure in heaven? Christ himself becomes our treasure. In him is everything we have, we love, we value, we follow, we look up to. He becomes our treasure. If today we already concluded on this, we came and our hearts is in him, we abandon the vanity of this world, we truly can rejoice because today he will reign. He comes as a humble and meek king, and we find joy in him. We value him above anything else in life. If still I am taken with all of this love of vanity and love of things in the world, I will come here today not knowing or feeling that today is something for me to rejoice. My heart is not in him. I come maybe to share in a feast that maybe I heard about it. It's a custom, but not truly with a heart full of joy, because now only him is my pearl of great price, is my treasure. In the first week, we will see the people who were dedicated their worship only to their Father who is in heaven. The church taught us, when you fast, you go this and do it in your room. When you pray, you do this by yourself. No one should witness this. not to do anything for the people to see you. So those people who truly dedicated the fast and gave it to God from their heart in a sincere relationship, worshiping Him in the Spirit, they will rejoice today. They will understand the meaning of the feast. The second week, we hear about the temptation of the Lord on the mount. So today, those people who fought the temptation, armed with prayers and fasting, will also rejoice. Yes, we fall. Sometimes we are defeated. But if we lose a battle, this doesn't mean that we are done. We come today tasting the pain of suffering, in enduring the temptations of the enemy, trying to be strong in faith, resisting all of these. Those people who endure the suffering will come today rejoicing with the Lord, knowing now the way to be saved, the way to enjoy victory. From the third week comes to us the lost son, and with him come those among us who were away from God and now they are turning to him, enjoying his forgiveness, trusting his acceptance. The lost son will be one of the people rejoicing today, because now he knew that he can be restored again. And with him, every sinner, all of us who believe that Christ will always accept us when we come to him. We come to him today rejoicing in his forgiveness. From the fourth week come the Samaritan woman, and with her come all those who found their worth through their relationship with the Lord Christ. Many, many people are still looking for their worth in a relationship, or in making money, or in a position. I am what I hold as a title. I am what I have as money. I am what the people think of me. If we still live like this, I don't think we can truly have this joy in the heart. The Samaritan woman was rejoicing when she understood that her value comes from Christ loving her, caring about her. Not only her, but all of us. Our worth comes from him, not from anything else, the relationship that we hold with him. From the fifth week comes the paralytic at the pool of Bethesda, and come with him all those people who are lame, unable to walk or stand in their feet to do what is good, to walk towards what's holy. Today, when we learned how to stand in prayer, how to walk and do something good, how to come to the church, we will definitely be among the people rejoicing in this feast. From the sixth week come the man born blind, and with him all those people who never witnessed the light in their lives, but because when they met with Christ, their eyes were opened, they understood. When they read the Bible now, they read it with understanding and they love what they read. All those people will come today rejoicing in their King who opened their eyes and allowed them to enjoy what they see, knowing him and knowing themselves. We also, with all of these figures, all those people on the stations that we stood before, all of those people that we read their stories in the Bible over the last 6 weeks, we will march with our King towards the cross, not fearing the cross, not intimidated with the pain that's waiting for him and for all those people who follow him. Why? Is it because we are super brave, we don't care? No, because now we know the end of the story. There is a cross in your life, but also there is a victory, there is a resurrection. The story of the relationship with Christ is like this. Start with joy, walking to the cross, and then at the end, you enjoy the resurrection that he promised to all the faithful believers who will walk after him, trusting, loving him, not because of what he gives, but because of whom he is. May the Lord grant us a feast that we all celebrate spiritually. We have this joy in heart that the whole world cannot give us and cannot take it from us as well. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.